today on Real Radio.
He promises all those who will put their trust in him. Yes, the qualifying effect is God's promises to the nation of Israel to teach us that he keeps his promises even in spite of how Israel has treated him. He still keeps his promises to them. And that brings me great joy because he'll keep his promises to you and I.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 3, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. Now, God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so he could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In chapter 11 of Isaiah, we learned that a Messiah would come and that he will have two birthrights. He'll be born from the seed of David, and he'll have the spirit of holiness. Now, both birthrights point to the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Messiah will also have the spirit of the Lord on him and the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and of might. The Messiah will also have the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now in part 3, we'll continue to see why these sevenfold spirits are so important and how Isaiah confirms to us that Jesus Christ is our salvation. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that in chapter 11, verse 3, Isaiah begins to describe what will happen when Christ returns. He also introduces us to the coming earthly kingdom of God, where the Lord will rule with wisdom and perfect understanding. And now in his lesson called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask that you'd bless the going forth of your word to our hearts tonight. Lord, we ask that you would instruct us out of your truth. We pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Grab your Bibles tonight, church, and turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Isaiah, chapter 11 tonight. And we're looking at part 3 of our message that's entitled, The Spirit of God at Work. One of my favorite portions of Scripture in the book of Isaiah. And if you've missed the last several Wednesday nights that we've had together, I'm going to ask you later to catch up and look and listen to parts 1 and 2, because it will bring it all together. But of course, tonight being part 3 builds upon our previous study and the magnitude of the person of Jesus Christ. You see, well, Jack, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about Isaiah. Yes, we are. Isaiah is the one who spoke more about the coming Messiah than any other Old Testament prophet, the book of Isaiah. That's why the book of Isaiah, Isaiah's ministry as a prophet, has been called or dubbed the evangelical prophet, because he spoke about the coming of Christ more than any other prophet, Isaiah. And as we get now to chapter 11, into the third part of this study, we are looking at, of course, the aspects, the characteristics of the Messiah, who he is, what are his attributes, what's his nature, and his ministry fulfillment. Isaiah chapter 11, by context, let's read verses 1 to 9 again. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Jesse, of course, being David, King David's dad. So we're talking about DNA now and legal right to the throne. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Notice the word branch is capitalized in your Bible. It's a reference to deity. This is not a branch like some other branch. This is one of great, profound, prophetic significance. Why? Look at verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. And I'll read this correctly. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of might. The Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the people, or the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike. Listen, everybody, if you know your Bibles, this raises your eyebrow because it brings us to the millennium and the advent of it. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's the word of his truth. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Verse 5, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And when he comes back, watch what happens. Verse 6, the wolf also will dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. This is all about the millennium when Christ is seated in Jerusalem. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. That's freaky, but it's amazing. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Man, this is what's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. The second coming events, we won't be talking about that, but this part of the scripture deals with the things after the second coming. When Christ returns to Israel, the Bible says to Jerusalem, Christ returns. Last time together, we saw in verse 1 that the Spirit of God at work means this, that our God is a restoration God, that God in his nature restores. He loves to restore. And the Bible here is telling us that God is restoring the nation of Israel. I just find that so incredibly awesome that we're here tonight and we're studying the Bible, a 3,000-year-old prophecy, and it's speaking about not only the creation of the nation of Israel and then their wanderings from God and their disobedience to God, and then he brings judgment upon them and he casts them to the ends of the earth, but then he says he brings them back in the last days and he brings restoration to them. But here you and I are sitting in the 21st century and Israel's the top issue on the news today. And it's on the globe and it's on the map. That's got to cause the skeptic to sit up and listen. Why? Because God, the God of the Bible, is the restoration God and Israel is his example to us. And he'll restore your life. Listen, he's a God of impartial promises. He doesn't promise just a certain group of people. He promises all those who will put their trust in him. Yes, the qualifying effect is God's promises to the nation of Israel to teach us that he keeps his promises even in spite of how Israel has treated him. He still keeps his promises to them. And that brings me great joy because he'll keep his promises to you and I. God is good. And then the second thing we saw, and this is where we left off, is in verses 2 through 5. So follow with me. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. In your notes, you should have that as the first utterance of the seven characteristics of the Spirit of God or the ministry of God or the Messiahship of Christ. Number one in the list is this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And we looked at that last time. What does that mean? The word Lord is the very name of God. You know that from last time, Yahweh, the very name of God. This is the name of the God of the Bible. And we looked at that in detail, that it's all about God the Savior. He's not only the restoring God, he's the God that is mighty to save. And that very name of God is the God who saves. So the Spirit of the Lord, meaning the Spirit of the Lord who is Savior. It is not. Let me explain. He is not the God of salvation, though he is the God of salvation. God is not his name. He is the Lord God of salvation. Yah is his name, Yahweh. Yahweh is God. He is mighty to save. That's what that means. Isn't that awesome? The Lord, he is God, and he saves. The Bible reminded us last time together regarding Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Mark it down if you would. Revelation 7, verse 9. Watch this now. After these things I looked, John said, in heaven. He sees the revelation of heaven. And behold, a great multitude which no one could number. How many people is that? I heard somebody say, a lot. Of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with a white robe, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, this is what they said, all of these people, an innumerable amount of people, impossible to count, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. And this is what they said. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And people say it. Amen. Wow, that's the scene in heaven. Now listen to this. Isaiah is telling us that he is the Messiah, whoever he is. I'm saying that sarcastically. Whoever he is, upon him is the spirit of might, the spirit of the Lord, spirit of salvation. Rest upon him. And in looking at this, we see on the other end of the bookends is John seeing the revelation of heaven in the book of Revelation. He sees it all. And the crowds from the earth that have been saved by the Lamb throughout all human existence cry out. And they're praising him for being Savior. Do you know what I love about this? I love a lot of things about this. But have you ever met people who have their little group? I mean, we have a little group of real believers. Have you ever met those people? Yeah. I meet them all the time. It's amazing. It's funny because they have their little group of real believers. We're the really super chosen ones. But they always come here to try to pull people out of here into their little group because they want their little group to get bigger. So somehow they've got some kind of worth because the group is bigger. But I thought you had a small group. Well, we're the super saints. You got to be baptized in our water. It's very elite. By our leaders. They lay out this rule and regulation. We are a special group. And let me guess, do I have to belong to your special group to go to heaven? Yep. You sure do. Now you're catching on, Pastor. You've got to be part. Isn't it interesting? In all of the little special groups that have ever been throughout all time and eternity, if you assembled all the little special groups that have ever been, they ain't nothing compared to this big group. Listen, God is saying, you know what? I'm going to save so many people, nobody can ever count them. How do you deal with that in your small group? No, it's just us. We're the super saints. We're the only ones that are really saved. Well, you got a problem there because God saves a number so big no human could ever count them. That kind of goes against your little bylaws there. God saves. If you call out to him and ask him, Lord, save me. I have sinned against you, Jesus. My sins put you on the cross. And I own my sins. Jesus, I'm asking you now to forgive me of my sins. Guess what? You repent and put your faith in Christ, he saves you. He's been doing it. He's doing it. And he's going to do it. And he's going to do it to such a degree, there's going to be an amount of people in heaven so big no human could ever count them. I am happy about that. You know why? Because every moment of suffering on the cross that my Jesus went through, the Bible says in other places that God will give him the sinner as a reward. How can you bless Christ? How can you bless Jesus? By putting your faith in him. I'm glad when I see such a big number standing before the Lamb of God, because it tells me that by the blood-bought sacrifice of Jesus, a multitude so great has benefited from his work at the cross. What an awesome thing that is. Hallelujah to that. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Number two, mark this down if you would. The Spirit of wisdom. What does that mean? The Spirit of wisdom shall rest upon him. The Messiah shall have the Spirit of wisdom. The word wisdom here in the Hebrew language means that it is the ability to do the will of God, to know the will of God and to do it. In other words, the Spirit of wisdom, which will cause, listen, Jesus in his humanity, Christ came, the Bible says, as a human. Galatians 4, verse 4, you have to write it down because it's not in my notes. Galatians 4, 4 says that at the fullness of time, Christ came, born of a woman, born under the law, at the right time. Christ came. All of us have been born of a woman. Listen, we all have moms. That's normal for us. That's common. But when God comes from heaven to earth, he's born of a woman, Mary, the virgin birth, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And he's born under the law. Jesus came in the flesh to keep the law. You can't. I can't. Only he can, because the law is holy. It took a holy God to meet the demands of the holy law. Jesus fulfilled that in his humanity because I can't. Then he turns and imparts to me by faith his work. I get the benefit from his effort. But what about my sin? He goes to the cross. He was obedient, the Bible says, to the death of the cross. And Jesus, in his humanity, in his ministry, in his wisdom, submitted himself to the will of his Father. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it awesome? You say, well, I mean, I don't kind of get that because he's God in the flesh, but God in his Father. And I mean, like it was somehow easier for him. Don't think that. It was not easier for him to die on the cross for our sins because he was absolutely pure. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, you need to write that down because it's not in my notes either. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might receive the righteousness of God that is through him by faith. He put upon us his righteousness in salvation. That's what he does. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. That is, Jesus showed us how to live the will of God. As Jesus said, I do all those things. I always do those things that please my Father. He is our standard. We are to pursue his example. And when you and I read the Gospels, we come away with an amazing reverence for Jesus and his ability to do the will of God, and that is to enlighten the heart that is searching for him. Is that your heart tonight? Are you searching for more and more of Jesus? The Bible says that God will enlighten your heart. And then for those who don't want anything to do with God, but yet they're in the audience, maybe, I hope not, but maybe you're here tonight, or maybe you're watching or listening right now, and you're listening to this, and you're here in a sense, but it's like, I don't want anything to do with that. That very same truth that goes out, that warms the heart and draws close the pursuing soul, is the very same thing that blinds the man or the woman who shuts up his heart against God. The very truth that goes out can either be a great blessing or a great curse to you. It all depends on how it lands in your heart. And that's your choice. Isn't that a tremendous thing to realize that tonight? Jesus said, be careful how you hear. How are you hearing right now these things? Don't confuse the message with the messenger. Don't be distracted by my inability or my shirt or by this place. What's the message? That's the issue. That's why the preaching of the cross, the Bible says, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is life, it's joy, it's glory to those who are being saved. Same message goes out. People decide. That's why people hate the cross. That's why people hate the delivery of the Word of God. It is so politically incorrect, it is awesome. The Word of God goes out and it lays a line right down the middle, and there's no place to hide. People have to argue about it. The Word of God going out, the Spirit of wisdom. Jesus Christ brings to us the very nature of God, and his ministry to this hour judges the hearts and the minds of men. Revelation 5:12 says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Wow. The Bible tells us again in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Answer, nobody. Or who has become his counselor? I know we've all tried. He doesn't listen to us. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Jesus of Christianity. This is the Jesus of the Bible. So what does that mean to us? The Bible tells us in the book of James that if we need wisdom, we can ask God for wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Listen, wisdom's amazing because, in fact, I encourage you to buy any of his books. There's a guy that I love to read. He's so simple but so precious in his insights. The guy's name is Vance Havner. You ought to buy his books. He's an old country pastor from, I think, the Carolinas or this Tennessee or somewhere. He's long gone. He's in heaven now. But Billy Graham used to call him his pastor, Vance Havner, and very minuscule education to say, you know, the most. It was just very basic. But this guy had such insights into God. And you read him and you'd be so, so encouraged. And you know, how does that happen? Because you know what? He has wisdom. There's people who have knowledge. And it's sad that all that knowledge is wasted on a human because they just don't know what to do with it. I saw a guy one time. I'm not going to be too specific because he's related to me. But I saw a guy. My family's really bright, really, really bright. And he's reading a book. I don't know what it was. Seriously, it was like a book on physics or something. And this is how he was. He had all kinds of knowledge. He knew you never wanted to play Jeopardy with this guy because he'd win every time. And he's just going along reading a book on physics and walks right through a plate glass window. He did this. He didn't do it once. He did this stuff all the time. You say, man, what is wrong with you? You're brilliant. What's up? A lot of knowledge. He didn't have much of the ability to apply the knowledge. That ability is called wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. It doesn't matter how knowledgeable you are. You can get killed being knowledgeable. But you need to have wisdom. And the beautiful thing about being a Christian, you can be the smartest person in the world or not. The Christian just has to ask God for wisdom. And the Bible says in the book of James, God will give wisdom and he will not hold back from you if you need it. We don't have wisdom because we don't ask. We should ask him. Imagine, just in this service alone tonight, if all of us just ask God, Lord, let's do it right now anyway. Let's do it. Are you ready to do it? Yes. Lord Jesus, give us wisdom. We pray we need it, Lord. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine us now? Listen, and pretty soon, in about 30 minutes, you're going to get up and out of here, and you're going to walk out into the world, and the world should go, oh, my goodness, look, this all this wisdom's coming at me. Lord, give us wisdom for this age. We need wisdom. The world is nuts. Things are crazy. We need wisdom as to how to apply the knowledge that we have of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 3. Glad you could take the time to join us today. God is always desiring to have a personal relationship with you and with me, and you know the truth is His Spirit is always working in our behalf. The Spirit of God at Work, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We're excited to let you know that Pastor Jack has recommended a book of the month for May. It's called Haley's Bible Handbook. Haley's Bible Handbook makes the wisdom and the message of the Bible accessible to everyone. Whether you read the Bible many times or maybe you've never checked it out before, you'll find insights into the religious culture along with maps and settings in which each story of the Bible unfolds. Haley's Bible Handbook is written for both mind and heart, and it's completely revised and updated. There are also easy-to-understand sections on how we got the Bible and the history of the church. So head on over to our website and purchase your copy of Haley's Bible Handbook for yourself. Or maybe even for someone you know who needs a little extra help in studying the Bible. Again, you'll find Haley's Bible Handbook. That's at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.